Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I don't know if you got a chance to this week hear or see the segment that was done on the program on vision, you know, getting a survival plan. You know, life has its turmoil moments, and in general, without having anything like four blood moons and tragedy and stuff. And but there are some turbulent times coming, and I think, Pat, when we were in South Carolina, did they say something like maybe 90% of Christians don't even know what their purpose is? 80 or 90%, something of that nature.
Can't confirm that, but that sounds about right.
And these are people that are like, go to those kind of conferences that are very serious about, and then, you know, which means most believers today, according to what they were saying, that Rick Joyner was saying at a Morningstar conference, was that ones they survey come to, and you got to be serious coming to Morningstar.
Yeah, you sure did.
You got to be serious. We were just flying around.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. And they don't know their call. They don't. And I'm telling you, you know, you're called with a purpose. There is destiny inside of you. And you have to, if you haven't got, you got to go watch or listen to that segment, because you're going to need to get vision. You need to get it now. And not just an idea. You got to hear what you were created for. What has God called you to? And then you got to begin to realize and get it down really, really good. You know, like Habakkuk 2:2-3 says, you know, the book of Habakkuk, he talks about, write the vision, make it plain so that other people can understand it and run with it. Though it linger, wait for it, for it certainly will come to pass. Well, if you don't write it plainly, I mean, the enemy's going to steal it from you. He's just going to steal it from you. I mean, he steals vision. I mean, if 80, it's, I think it's 90, we'll just say 80. If 80% of Christians in America that has all this technology and ability to write down a vision, I mean, it's not like we have to go beat out papyrus and scratch it out with us. With a quill or a feather or something, dipping in an inkwell. I mean, we have all these different ways to write down what God is saying, and write it clearly, and then understanding the process. You're going to go through process. I mean, I know Dr. Michael Brown says it this way. He says, God gives a man a vision. He gives the man a vision. Then he destroys the man, and then he brings forth the vision. I didn't say it that way, but it, you know, it's pretty much, I mean, every part of us that's in it, God wants that part of us to be removed so that he can do what he wanted to do when he first told you what he wanted to do through you, not what you wanted to do through him. And you got to get that. You're going to be really encouraged. You're going to look back at some of those that have gone before us, and we're told in Hebrews to imitate those who have gone before us, but we've got to understand, you've got to get vision, because vision will bring restraint in your life. You know, vision will keep you from perishing in difficult times, and vision will help you go through the real difficult times of the bipolar opposites of what God has been telling you, understanding that's your time to learn the principles so that he can bring you into the provision. And it kind of makes me think about what you were sharing with me, you know, Steve, about fire and a sword. What was this thing about this Marine?
Well, I was just catching up with a Marine friend of mine, and he had been in the Marine Corps for, I want to say, 27 years.
Wow.
And we just got talking about the Corps and just remembering just the good memories. And he had a few more memories in the Corps than I did. But he was, what was really encouraging was, is that he was sharing with me an encounter that he had when he was a young Marine. And he was probably like his first 4 years when he was in. And he was able to go before a panel of leaders. And high enlisted, it's like the sergeant major or master sergeant. It's pretty much the highest you can be in enlisted. These guys had spent, you know, 25 years in the Corps. And one of the things that he said to him, he said, you control the fire. You control how hot it gets. And to a whole bunch of young Marines, it just went right over their head. And he was like, what? And when he sat and then he talked about it, and he asked him, you know, what did you mean? And this senior enlisted man goes on to crown, and he said, you're in control of how hot it gets. He says, imagine a sword, and you place it in a fire. And the hotter it gets red hot.
Yeah, it does.
And it gets red hot. And your job is to take that sword and turn it around and place it in your heart.
This is a Marine?
This Marine says this. You know, he basically as an analogy.
Okay, I'll say.
Not a literal one. Oh, don't care. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Wow.
Okay, and he says, take this sword and place it in your heart. And he says, you're in control of how hot it gets. Now, it's going to hurt. He says, you can take it out, but then it's going to get cold and it's going to, the fire's going to die away. Or you can
immediately die.
Exactly. Immediately. Or he says, you can leave it in there. And he says that purifies it. And I'm paraphrasing. There was a significant story with this. And I
well, they say it codifies the wound.
Right.
It literally cuts off all the... Right.
Yeah.
It seals off all this blood. Yeah, it definitely purifies it.
And he says, but if you leave it in there, you leave it in your heart, he says it purifies you.
Yeah.
And he says on the tip of that sword is the eagle, globe, and anchor. Everything that we stand for. Character, integrity, country, God, others, team, leadership. The easiest thing is to take it out. But to be a leader, you got to leave it in there and let it purify you. And he was just like, whoa, that was deep. And I was like, wow, that was deep. It's like, but that's how powerful it is. It's like, you got to understand it's those times of testing that purify you. And when you have a vision, you see that I need this difficulty in my life right now because it's this difficulty that's going to purify me so that I can remain steadfast and unwavering when those times of testing come in the future. And it's huge because I think about what we were talking about before. It's just like that difference between wood, hay, and
stubble,
stubble versus the silver, the gold, the costly stones. It's going to cost you something. Purify me. And it's like you look at, if somebody is purifying gold, they got to put it in the fire. And the fire brings all the impurities to the top so that whoever's working with that gold, they can just wipe it away.
Reminds me of Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, when Jesus is saying, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to be able to put on your eyes so you can see. These purifying moments, you know, you think about it as, if we don't allow these testings, these trials that test our faith, he says, which is more precious than gold.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're going to suffer trials of many kinds. And there have to be for the testing of your faith, as Peter's writing about it. And he says, but this is the testing of your faith to prove that it's genuine. So whatever's left, that's truly what kind of faith that you have. You know, untested faith is, I'm sure there's some faith in there somewhere, but it's not as big as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the day that somebody says, you know, that I'm excited today, we're pregnant today. And it's like, oh, it's wonderful. I mean, but in 8 months, let's just find out where that is. I mean, you'll be more pregnant in 8 months than you are, what I heard. I mean, you got to go through that process of carrying this thing, this child, this vision, this call, this, he says, you know, test yourself, you know, to see if you're in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go through these trials. And you think about it, if you avoid, and this is a proven thing. I meant, the baby boomers' parents were in the phase of drug and tug, that prior to that season, you know, that a mother would go through birthing pains and go through the pain of birthing, but all of a sudden they started drugging the mothers and tugging the babies.
Mm.
And so the mother would just be knocked out totally, and they would bring this baby out, and they never did know the pain. They didn't know that pain. They knew obviously pain afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they said that what was interesting in some of the studies on this, it's some of the reports reportedly, that generation that was born with the drug and tug babies that were born, that was the highest drug addicted culture there's ever been.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And how, you know, if we're not willing to go through something, if we're not willing to have that pain, not only does it affect our generation, but it affects the next generation. And now look how people don't want to go through any pain at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any pain at all. And so but life has pain in it. Some people say, you know, God's delivered us from the curse. Yeah. I mean, he has delivered us, but if you haven't been in a room with a woman having a baby yet, I mean, you got to say there's still pain in childbirth.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the beginning in Genesis. And so you look at this and you think, well, you know, life requires me going through something. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we want a good fighting force and a military force that's going to fight, you got to have boot camp. You got to, they bring a man in there, they bring a woman in there, and they break them down. They break you down. Then they build you back up what they want you to be. That's what God does. I mean, we have all these grandiose ideas or what's going on. It's like, no, you're actually, all of your righteousness was like filthy rags. And it's only my son, Jesus, that I'm seeing here. But I'm going to move you right up to be like him in some way. You know, I'm going to. You're going to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And that comes with us decreasing more and more and less of us and less of us. We don't become Jesus. We just become less of us and more of him shows in our life. I guess the process lasts as long as you're willing to humble yourself. Mm. I mean, how long does the pain last?
Mm-hmm.
It could last when he just says, I'm going to take you to the promised land. It's an 11-day journey. Be there. You're God.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing. 11 days. You probably would have done 11 days because of the heat. You probably would have done. Let's just do it. 11 days. I got a clear vision.
Yeah.
Let's move it out.
Let's get this done.
Bitter water. Oh, my goodness. But even in that, you think about the first thing God did, he brought a people out of slavery who cried out because of their pain. But the first place he brings them to is a place of bitter water to be able to know that God is your healer. But in that pain, in that process, in that difficulty, then that's what they were going to learn. And this would encourage you because you may be going through something right now. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's occupational. You know, maybe it's in your time with the Lord. And if you're not, you know, based on some of the prophetic words that we're getting and others are getting, you're going to be. And if you haven't understood that, then you don't understand that if God loves you, if Father God loves you, he disciplines those he loves. And if you avoided discipline and didn't understand this, then all of a sudden when it comes, you're totally confused. You don't understand. Why is God letting me go through these hard times? Why hasn't God rescued me? It's like he's the one that led you into this thing. What do you mean rescued you? He understands this is what it's going to take for you to come through this refiner's fire so you truly can have what you profess to have, you can truly have. He says, consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. I mean, think about that. And it's like, but if we avoid going through those difficult times, we avoid dying to ourselves. I mean, what do we have in the end of it? I mean, do we have anything to show to God at all? Is there any faith at all? And when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you specifically look, it's the hall of faith. You see people that ruled by faith. They fought wars by faith. They stood by faith. Their faith was tested when they did what God said do, and they kept their faith in God. But they went through stuff. They went through huge stuff. But now we're reading about them in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, but there's a book of remembrance being written about you. You know, what's being written in the book of remembrance that Malachi talks about you? Are you going through anything, or are you whining through everything? You think about it. There's some folks, it's like, my goodness, if you whine anymore, my ears are bothering me.
Right.
You can't even go through a delay in traffic, and God's wanting to give you 10-year delay in his provision. I mean, to be able to teach you something so he can bless you with great wealth. But you first got to go through some stuff. Make sure, if you haven't yet gotten or watch that particular program, make sure you get it. It's like Vision. I believe the title of it is, you know, Vision, the secret to be able to survive in life's struggles that's going on. You got to get it, Vision. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation live.